Psalms 33 and verse 1, psalmist says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright." The Message Bible puts it this way: God's people cheer God. Right living people sound best when praising. I like that. And I was thinking this morning as I was pondering on that scripture, and we've even talked about some of it this morning before we started our recording, is that praise is possibly one of the greatest things that we can do, because God is so worthy. No matter where we are, in the wilderness, in the valley, in the storm, in the crisis, on the mountaintops, God is God, and He's our Father. And all things are working together for good to them that who love God, who are called according to His purpose. And in the New Testament, they were talking about the Jews that said in Jerusalem, you know, is where they worship. And he said, but they that worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is so worthy of all of our praise, of all of our honor, and all of our glory. Praise and worship lifts us up higher in the realm of spirit. Coming to know Him and to love Him. It lifts us up. And in verse 4 in Psalm 33 it says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. For the word of God is solid to the core. Everything He makes is sound inside and out." You know, we talk about the Word of God, and people talk about the Bible and the infallibility of the Bible and how they believe it exactly as it's written. But you know, if you believe that, then you have to believe that Jonah is still in the belly of the whale. Because the Bible says he was in the belly of the fish forever. And we know that's not true. We know that we need to look at the wording. So when we're talking about the Word of God, we're talking about that Word that God in the Spirit speaks to us and makes real to us. And I know we've everyone had those times in our lives when God has spoken a word, or even taken a passage out of the Bible and spoken it into our being. And that word became life that brought change within us. His word is solid to the core. And everything He makes is sound inside and out. God is dependable. You know, our lives, we look around us and we see the things that we need. We see the things in this natural realm. But God is a spirit. And God has a purpose that He set in motion from the beginning. That He brought man out from Him. And He brought man through Him. And He is bringing man back into Him. That is His purpose. Now we know that the spirit man came out from God. The spirit man is being processed through God, and the spirit man is being returned to God. But that God also has a people that is going to actually see that transformation in this natural realm. When God manifests His sons, those called chosen sons of God that are chosen for manifestation will experience that transformation in this physical realm. When this mortal body would put on immortality and when this corruptible will put on incorruptible. In verse 5 it says, He loveth the righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord. He loves it when everything fits, when His world is in plumb line truth. Earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. Think of that. Earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. I know people that would disagree with that in the Christian realm, because they look at this earth and all they can see is the evil and the ugliness. But the Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. This is my Father's world. And the Bible, Jesus said, the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, there's something about this world when we look at it and we see nature and how incredible it is. The beauty of the trees and the flowers. We're entering into the fall season when all of the leaves dry off and drop off, and all you see is the bare branches and the flowers and the grass die. But then in a few months, when the sun begins to warm the earth again, the grass turns green. The trees who have sat there through all the cold season put their leaves out. And all the flowers come. You know, this is God's world. If you want to look at depraved humanity that is depraved, and you know, then you're seeing another section of God's world. But the fact of the matter is that God has placed into motion that which will bring all His creation back unto Himself, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. It's happening. And this earth is drenched in God's affectionate satisfaction. In Genesis, when He got through making all this earth and man and animals, He said, it is good. It is very good. And God rested. And the Word says that all His works were created before the foundation of the world. Verse 6 says, By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of His nostrils. The sky was made by God's command. He breathed, the world and stars popped out. You know, God is incredible when we stop to look at Him. When you really stop to see Him as He is. Not through the eyes of the church you see the old judgmental God, that all He wants to do is to cast everybody into a lake of fire or something like that. But when you see the reality of who He is, that He created a people, He created this world, this universe. He created Adam and Eve. He created you and I and lowered us into this dimension of time. And He has our good. He has drenched it in His affectionate satisfaction. His love is greater than anything that we can ever imagine. His love is unconditional. He loves everybody unconditionally. When Jesus was asked, Who is my neighbor? He gave the story of the Good Samaritan. And to the Jews, at that time, the Samaritans were nothing but dogs. Scum of the earth. But in His answer, the Levi, the Jew, the priest, passed by on the other side of the road. But there was one that came, a good Samaritan, that got down in the ditch, poured the oil and wine into his wounds, cleaned him up, put him on his own donkey, and took him to the inn and paid for his stay. you said, who is your neighbor? You know, the fact of the matter is that God's love is greater than anything that we have ever known. In verse 10 he said, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the device of the people of none effect. And I really love how the Message Bible puts this. God takes the wind out of Babel's pretense. He shoots down the world's power schemers. God takes the wind out of Babel's pretense. He shoots down the world's power schemers. You know, the word says that greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. You know, God, who has awakened us to the understanding that we are His children. And that's what salvation is all about. It is an awakening. It is a coming to realize who we are and where we came from, and that we are spirit beings. And He said that no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. And in Romans, he says, we are more than conquerors through Christ. We overwhelmingly conquer. Child of God, we have got to realize that while we're in this dimension of time, that our Father gives us the grace, the power, and the strength to overcome every crisis, every storm, every night season, every valley experience, there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always an ending to the storm. And in our bodies of flesh and blood, we think, well, God, you just don't understand, because you know I'm going through this now. And this seems like it's never going to end. But it will end. And in the midst of all the storms and everything that touches our lives, worship is the key. Father, we adore you. We bless you. And then the Spirit begins to take over, and it begins to come from the deepness of our being, our worship and our love toward Him, and how much He cares for us. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generation. God's plan for the world stands up, and all His designs are made to last. God's plans, what He has proposed in Himself to do, He is able to perform it. And do exceedingly abundantly abound beyond anything that we think or ask. He set His purposes in motion at the foundation of the world. And they stand up, and all His designs are made to last. Because He designed that man would come from Him, process through Him, and return to Him. That God may be all and in all. Verse 15. He fashioneth their heart alight. He considereth all the works. He has shaped each person in turn. Now He watches everything we do. God has shaped every person in His turn. Now He watches everything we do. Word says that He knows everything from the ending, from the beginning. He is omnipresent, which means He's everywhere present. He's omniscient, which means He's all-knowing. And He's omnipotent, which means He's all-powerful. He knows all. And think about this one statement. God knows who we are. He knows the intimacy of everything that we are. And yet He loves us unconditionally. Hallelujah. Think of that. He knows exactly everything that we are. The thoughts that we think, the actions that we take, everything that we go through in this dimension of time. And yet He loves us unconditionally. And Jesus had the audacity to say, as I have loved you, so love you one another. Wow. How many times do we look at another individual and see the things that maybe we don't like, or the things that they're doing that we don't like, and tend not to love them? But the commandment is that we love creation as He loved us. You know, that, and that's one of, that's the beef I have, because I just can't understand how Christians cannot see and grasp that concept. That they can go to the same church and sit on the other, each opposite sides, and not even speak to each other and say they're children of God. Or that they can go home and have the preacher for Sunday lunch and down him and criticize him and still believe that they're all right. You know, God loves unconditional. He shaped, He formed, He created each individual. Now He watches everything we do. And in our most intimate moments, when no one is looking and God sees the reality of who we are, He loves us unconditionally. Verse 16 says, there is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. No king succeeds with a big army alone. No warrior wins by brute strength. Not by power, nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You see, this world is not going to be changed because we have 10,000 in our church on Sunday morning. This world is not going to be transformed because we have so many programs. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit. God has His own army that He is training, that are going to be manifested in this earth to the glory of God, who have gone through the fire, who have gone through the trials, who have gone through the storms and through the nights and through the crisis, and in the midst of it all, have found our Father to be faithful, to be loving, to be kind, and in the midst of it all has seen Him as He is and have come to know that we can trust Him. And bring that people to that place where that their mind, their soul, their whole being has been metamorphosed and changed. And they will begin to speak into this earth as He tells us what to speak. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit. He ceased from His labor, and He said, we must enter into His rest. Into His rest. Man's religion is a religion of doing. I've got to go to church Sunday morning. I've got to go to church Sunday night. I've got to go to church Wednesday night. I've got to read my Bible an hour every day. I've got to pray an hour. It's what I've got to do. And when I testify, I'm as the Pharisee. I thank God I don't do all of these things that the others do. And by these not doing, I'm better than they are. But I've got news for you. You're not better than anybody is. Because only God, Paul said, I can only boast in the cross. I am who I am because of what God has done within me. Verse 17, a horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Horsepower is not the answer. No one gets by on most muscle alone. I like that. You know, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit. Horsepower is not the answer. No one gets by muscle alone. You know, you can grunt and strain and do everything you can in this natural realm, but it don't please God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What did he say? If just a cup of water, you give in my name. We think, well, those things are just so minimal. You know, I got to do something great. I don't want to sweep the floors of the church or clean the toilets. Nobody sees me doing those things. I want to do something and be seen. No, it's not that. Horsepower is not the answer. It's not in our strength. It's not in our power. Jesus said, and we've quoted it so many times, he said, I only do the things I see my Father do. And I only say the things I hear my Father say. It's not what I do. It's what He has already done. It's not what I be. It's what He has done within me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Paul said it this way, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Abraham, in his late years, had been promised a son. No son. Sarah was getting old. No son. So what did she do? She gave him Hagar to have a child by. That was not the son of God. That was not the promise. The promise was, I will give you a son. And his wife was Sarah. And after they had passed their barren years, Sarah brought forth a son. And how many Ishmaels have been produced in the religious community? Because man has took it upon himself, instead of waiting on God's timing and God's word for our lives, has taken it upon himself to produce what he thought God needed to be done. You hear it all the time. If we don't do it, God, you know, we've got to do this for God. We've got to raise this money so we can reach the world for God. But it's not right. You can't do that. And then they've got all these people, you give this $58, you give this $1,000, and you're not going to be in poverty anymore. You know? It's what you do. But it's not what you do. It's what you be. Horsepower is not the answer. Your strength and my strength is not the answer. Obedience, yielding to what he says. In Revelations, when John saw the 144,000 and asked, who are these? He said, these are they that came out of great tribulation, who followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. In verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Watch this. God's eye is on everyone who respects him. The ones that are looking for his love. God's eye is on everyone who respects him, who are looking for his love. Verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. He's ready to come to their rescue in bad times. In lean times, he keeps body and soul together. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We are dependent on God. He's everything we need. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. What's more, our hearts brim with joy, since we've taken for our own His holy name. And in the last verse of that, it says, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Love us, God, with all you've got. That's what we're depending on. Love us, God, with all that you've got. That's what we're depending on. He's our Father. He is the one that lifted us and set us on that solid rock. He is the one that is there when we need Him. And even though when we look around and say, well, where is He? He's there. We have to walk through the trials and the... He said, when you pass through the water, it will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. No weapon that's formed against you will prosper. The things that we're facing in this life are not to destroy us, but to build us up. To build up our faith, to build up our stamina, to cause us to trust on Him. You've heard me quote this scripture over and over again in Song of Solomon. Who is this coming out of the wilderness leaning on her beloved? Oh, beloved, the things that we pass through in this life are causing us to lean on our Father, to know that He is able to bring us through to an ultimate victory. And those who have seen this day and have seen the vision of the manifestation of the sons of God, who have for years longed to see that day, I believe we're standing on the threshold of that event in God's life, in God's timing. God's preparing a people to be manifested into earth that's going to change the total direction of where this world is going. God's got a people, and that He is ministering to. He is bringing us forth. His eye is on us. He's ready to come to our rescue. And we're dependent on Him because He's got everything we need. There's nothing behind us. Look back to where you have come from, and all you can see back there is death. There's no life behind you. But in God, in Him, we live and move and have our being. He is our Father, our Lord, our God, our King. He is our comfort. He is the one that speaks in the midst of us. He is the one that has brought us to this place. He is the one that opened our eyes to the revelations that we have seen. He is the one that prepared our hearts to be teachable, to understand these revelations. We did not choose to walk out this way by ourselves. I would have still been in the church. I'd have still been where I was. I had no desire to leave. I had a desire to see more of God, but I had no desire to see that apart from what I was in. But it was His holy calling, His hand upon our lives, that brought us out and has brought us every step of this way with His revelation and His word within us. And He has nothing in this world for us but ultimate victory. He that has begun a good work is going to bring that work to completion. He that showed you His revelation of the manifestation of the sons of God and has led you every step of this way is able to bring us into that manifestation and cause us to walk in that new day. And now we are moving forward with praise on our tongue, with worship in our hearts, with love toward our Father, and just listening for His word to speak in us, to cause us to come to that ultimate place of manifestation. God has nothing but love for each one of us. He cares for everything that we're passing through. And He knows that there's victory on the other side of everything that you're passing through. There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. God's love is unconditional. And we praise Him and we worship Him and we say amen. Father, just whatever it takes to bring us to that day of manifestation, let it be. Let it be. Because joy, mourning, and crying, and all that just lasts for a night. But joy cometh in the morning. Hallelujah. The day of manifestation is at hand. And the birth pains of birthing a son in the earth is taking place. And God's going to bring that son forth and unveil that son in the earth to speak His word into creation. Father, we love You and we praise You and we bless You.